Thank you, Concordia Kirkwood, for the uplifting music with which we began this worship. When I first began to read this text, it is the appointed text for a Sunday from the coming Sunday, I studied this on tax day. This may still be relevant for us, especially self-employed people, because quarterly tax return is coming a week from today. So the thought that occurred in my mind as I read this text is accounting, giving an account. And the story, as the text unfolds, tells us all about accounting. When I file my tax returns, I look for deductibles. Housing allowance, keeping my budget in balance, claiming deductions for service to my children, my family, and the society. So many tax deductions. And there is that challenge of keeping our conscience clear when we do this accounting business. We indeed thank God for accountants, CPAs, and managers who manage our account, our stewardship, and keep us hold accountable in terms of the treasures God has invested in us in a worldly way. We thank the seminary for fundraisers, support staff that generate funding for our service to the church and to the world. Indeed, this is a gift from God. Do not dismiss as the kingdom of the left business. This is a business that God has called us to be in, even when we think that we are in the kingdom of the right hand. But reading this text along further, I began to discover that there is more than accounting in this text. Of course, there is accounting. Scripture says that God holds us accountable, each man accountable to Him on account of the law He has revealed for us and for all people. The law says we are all human beings have sinned against God and fall short of the glory of God. That's the key point here. To impress this point into the hearts of His first listeners, Jesus uses this parable of the unjust steward. There are stewards and justices who are brought into perspective as Jesus narrates His life story here on earth. There is this unjust judge in Luke 18 to whom a widow goes to plead justice in her case. If the Hebraic use of that phrase is taken literally, this judge is the just judge of injustice. That's how the justice of the world is working here. But then Jesus builds a story from that narrative to say how the just father and judge of all pleads and listens to the prayer of the underprivileged, those who suffer injustice in the world. With those thoughts in mind, I want to impress in our minds two points from this narrative. The first one is actually from the last part of the verse, which is verse 15, where the Pharisees rallied around Him. This is normal in Jesus' public life. They were trying to find fault at Him, and they were accusing Him of disobeying the law of God. And the first point there for us is to think about this legalistic righteousness, a legalism that the Pharisees brought into the picture. And verse 14 here reads, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed Jesus. And Jesus said to them, you are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. Pharisaic legalism causes us to justify ourselves before God and before human beings. And look at the story of the Pharisees. In Jesus' public ministry, we would see that there were at least three different circles of Jesus followers. The inner circle, for example, the disciples, the 12, and probably others who listened to him and took his word at heart and obeyed him and followed him with all the weaknesses they had. Then there was the second circle, immediately around the first circle, that included all kinds of people. This was a crowd of all kinds of people, mostly Pharisees. And then a further crowd, a larger crowd that was around him because they wanted to hear what Jesus was saying, as well as the miracles that Jesus had been performing. In the second circle, there were Pharisees, and their goal was to actually to look at what Jesus was doing and also saying, and one of the comments they would surface is, look at this man, he eats with sinners and publicans and public sinners, he associates with them. And he would ask the inner circle people, the disciples, why is your master doing all this? This is murmuring, using Pharisaic legalism against Jesus, who actually came to fulfill the law and fulfill all its righteousness. Pharisaic legalism has crept into our church and the church throughout the world, in fact, in the hearts of all believing Christians. For the sake of enabling people to follow the law to its letter, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, built a fence around it. Do this, do not do this, do this on a Sabbath day, do not this on any day at all, to fulfill the law. Jesus says, Paul says, Jesus is the end of the law. It is not the legalistic righteousness that brings us into the household of God, to the household of faith, but it is the grace and grace alone. The second point I'm learning from this narrative is the church is placed before a watching world. Verse 2 of the text says, the master, the owner of the business, called the steward and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? The word gets around about you and I, the church of God, and as well as the people in the church and around it. Gossip, you may say, but it is true that the word about us gets around. We are placed before a watching world. The owner of the business left his business to the care of the steward. That's where the story unfolds. He was not watching, perhaps. Probably he was watching from a distance, but word got around that business was not doing well. Stewardship was not properly maintained. We are before a world. God has placed us before a world that is watching, looking. What's happening in the church? How good a stewardship are we practicing within the church? Are we guarding the doctrine and faith by building a fence around the law? Are we building fences that we can't even cross enter, and we fail to obey the laws we set for ourselves? Are not the fences that we build around the gospel and around Jesus Christ a hindrance to others to even look in and come in? Jesus says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I call you, obey. I invite you to come into my kingdom. Let not traditions block other people's way into the system. I'm blaming the Pharisees for all this. But there have been some Pharisees who were actually dealing with the law and finding its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. There was Nicodemus, who was searching for the fulfillment of the law in his own self-righteous way, but he came to Jesus, confronting him. He found the purpose of the law. there was another Nathaniel who was actually sitting under a fig tree and reading that law. But Jesus keeps his eye on him and he says, while you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. And Jesus is inviting him to come into his kingdom. Jesus has repeatedly said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, unless one heeds the call to repent, one shall not come into the kingdom of God. The church is placed before a watching world. The church is placed by its Lord before a world that keeps its eye on the church, the community of believers. And what is this Lord of the church expecting the church? To love justice and give mercy and to walk humbly before our God. It is not the law that saves, although the law does lead us to Christ. It is the grace that saves us. In His grace we trust, and by His grace we live in this world as His witnesses. God be praised. Amen.